Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
It can be the worst nightmare for an offense when you start off with the ball inside your own red zone and then fumble the ball in your end zone. It's touchbacks in the end zone and the history of it with footballarchaeology.com's Timothy P. Brown comes in to talk about it in the Pigpen in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another Tuesday, as we have deemed to be footballarchaeology.com day here on Pigskin Dispatch. Timothy P. Brown of that website is here to talk about another great tidbit he's had on the great history of football. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. Thank you. Looking forward to talking a bit today about fumbles.
Yeah, fumbles usually have such a negative aspect, but they can really change a game, real quick. And you have a really interesting, factoid or ancient rule of football, not ancient, but old rule of football that has to do with fumbling into the end zone and what transpires after that. So maybe you could enlighten us on your tidbit that you've put out recently.
Yeah, so, this is one where, a couple times a season, there's some big game and a big moment where somebody fumbles the ball. You know, they're trying to stretch to get into the end zone, or they get hit, inside the five, or, one way or another. They fumble the ball, and the ball goes into the end zone and either rolls out the back or more commonly rolls out the side of the end zone. And so that kind of play is ruled a touchback in American football. And every time people get all mad about it and they start discussing it. And so I finally, after, recently in one of the playoff games, the Chiefs wide receiver, Hardman fumbled at the one and, the ball rolls out of the end zone. So then it became the Buffalo Bills ball on the 20. And so, I just figured, okay, let me kind of look back. I mean, I knew what the rules were, but I just figured I'd kind of spell it out in a tidbit. And it goes back to, there was a time, the original football rules of 1876, safety and touchback don't get mentioned because they didn't exist at the time. They came along a couple years later, what they called the safety touchdown originally. If you touch the ball down in your own end zone, then you got to go and either take the ball. You took the ball out to either 20 or 25 at the time. I think it was 25, and then you could, you had to kick the ball, but back in those days, the team, when you kicked it, you kept it, because you dribbled kicked it. You just kicked a little, little distance. Then you were able to retain the ball, and then you'd get, two more, you'd three tries to make a first down. It was just, it became, Princeton in particular kind of went against the spirit of that rule and had these stalling games, what they call block games, against Yale. So then they put in the, each team, you only get three downs, right? And so it's one of those things that then in 1898 they distinguished safeties from touchbacks based on which team had the impetus or created the force to put the ball behind the goal line. And so if you're on offense and you go behind the goal line and you tackle there, okay, that's a safety. But if the defense or the other team forces it behind goal line, then it's a touchback. So we all know that, but again, those are things somebody had to make them up at one point, those rules. And so I kind of talked in this tidbit about I'm not even sure how I should pronounce the word that I made up, acronym that I made up, but something like AFRA. All football rules are arbitrary, right? I mean, it's a game. Everybody, all the rules were made somebody. But I think that the bigger thing is just that what I mean, I still like the rule as is. Other people obviously don't, but to me, part of it is just, in football to date, it's always rejected the idea of style points. There have been times when one person or another called for in the 20s, a bunch of people were saying you should get a point for a first down, right? And then the, but that went around. There was you should get points if you penetrate what we now call the red zone, but each time that got rejected. So football still, the only way you get points is if you get the ball over the goal line. Or you tackle somebody on the wrong side of the goal line, or if you kick the ball over the goal post, which used to be on the goal line, now they're on the end line. It's just for me, it just works out that I want the line to be meaningful, right? There's a reason you don't get points if you on goal line stands where you pound the rock four times to try to get into the end zone. But if you don't, if it doesn't cross the plane, you don't get any points. And so this is basically just a, it's just following that same logic, following that same rule. If you end up, putting the ball into the other team's end zone and it goes out of bounds, hey, too bad for you. You shouldn't have fumbled, right?
Yeah,
So,
it's the most basic mantra and concept of the game is one team's trying to get the ball over the opponent's goal line, and the opponent's trying to stop them from getting over the goal line. So it makes perfect sense.
And yet every time, and there's people who are just vociferous about it, in saying this is the wrong rule. And so I don't know, I still like it, but I did point out as well in the tidbit that Canadian football, I showed the rule from, at least the 2023 year book that, or rule book that shows that if you fumble into the end zone and it goes out in Canadian football, then it just comes back to the spot of the fumble. Now, I didn't look into it enough to figure out if that rule, was developed in part because of the single or the rouge, or if it was just something they just said, oh, no, we don't like that rule anymore, we're going to change it. So, but it is, I mean, if you really want to change it, have at it. The Canadians have already written the rule for you. So, other than a couple terminological changes, it's good to go. So.
I don't think they should personally change it. I mean, I understand why I think you're right. Canada has that because of the rouge, but American football, we don't have that extra way of scoring. And I like it because if you wanted to score, don't fumble the ball and let it go out of the end zone. We had like you said, you had the Hardman fumble. You had in the AFC Championship game, you had the young receiver for the Ravens fumble at the 1-inch line, and it went in the end zone. It didn't go out of bounds, but Kansas City recovered it. So I mean, that's what you expect. You fumble outside, the other team recovers in the end zone, it's a touchback. It's the same thing if you fumble it and it goes out of bounds. You've sort of given up possession at that point because it crossed the goal line. If it goes out of bounds at the 1 yard line, well, you'd still retain possession because the offense retains possession. That line of demarcation. It's an important line. Like you said, it's, the two most important lines on the whole football field are those two goal lines. So, I think that makes it special and makes some special circumstance.
Yeah. I didn't write about the, if the defense recovers the ball in the end zone, then, oh yes, of course, obviously that's a touchback. But that's a really good point. I didn't include that in the write-up, but that, it makes total sense.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, I can remember back in my officiating days, we had, what's called case books, where they give you some theoretical plays and it helps you learn the rules. Separate book from the rule book, but that corresponds to the rule book. And they had one time a play that was very interesting. I think it was something like one team threw an interception, picked it off in the end zone. The player for the defender that picked it off is running in the end zone like he's going to return it out, gets hit and fumbles the ball, and the original offensive team jumps on the ball. What do you have? And it's a interesting, that's where the imaginations go wild, because your first inkling, just by watching this, well, it's a touchdown. Well, no, it isn't, because they gave up possession. It would be a touchdown, but, or you take that, take that same circumstance, he fumbles it and it goes out of bounds. Well, now it could be a safety against the defending team, if the offensive team doesn't recover, is where I was going with that. It is a touchdown if they do jump on it. Just some weird things that can happen there with possession and in that end zone, the 10 yards between the goal line and the end line. It's amazing what can happen in there.
Yeah, that's I've got a couple of those case books. I've never really tried to go through them, but they are. I've got a couple of high school ones from the whatever 70s or 80s. They're kind of fun.
Yeah, you just gotta remember who's A, who's B, who's K, and who's R through the whole thing. That's and just for those listening, A is offense, B is defense, and K and R are pretty obvious. That's on the kicking game. So. It makes some interesting reading and really helps. It's really a great tool for officials and for anybody to understand the rules. It's a great tool. So whoever does those things, that they do a nice job of it at all levels.
Yeah.
But Tim, you do a nice job of bringing some of these oddities of football. Sometimes they're old rules that we don't understand because they're not used anymore. Sometimes they're a modern rule, like we talked about today, or modern aspect that we just don't really get to talk about because we don't see it that often, but it's a kind of a cool thing to chat about.
Yeah. Easiest thing to do is just go to footballarchaeology.com, subscribe. Alternatively, you can follow me on Twitter or Threads, or subscribe, get the Substack app. And there's a way you can follow within Substack without necessarily, getting the email. So you just read it just kind of more or less like you would with on Twitter or Threads. So that's it. Whatever, floats your boat.
Well, you have a lot of things that float us people that love football history's boat, and we enjoy it on all the different social media and your Substack, and we appreciate you doing that and coming on this program each week and talking about one of those recent ones that you've done, and we hope to do it again next Tuesday.
Very good. Look forward to it.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network. your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.